This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Her Vantage, and this is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. Dr. Inigo Triplett of 4D Performance has worked in the psychology industry in one capacity or another since 1995. However, it was after a woman attempted suicide and secured her services that she knew that she was called to step into the space of mental healing. Aside from her HR consulting experience, she taught at DeVry University, whereby she taught Psych 4-5. As a writer, she wrote a weekly mental wellness column for Inc. magazine based on the mental wellness coaching. Dr. Inigo is also the author of three career management books based on a philosophy of playing by the unwritten rules in every workplace. Her latest title, Playing by the Unwritten Rules, Here's What I Think, This is What I Know. Now, this is the summarized version of your accolades, Dr. Inigo. I could go on and on. Maybe you can just start with how you end up in Johor.
Oh, well, first, thank you so much for having me here. I'm deeply honored. And yes, I do live in Johor, but I came by way of Kuala Lumpur. Basically, I say that, and even in my book, this is my tagline. I was pushed out of America, and I was blown into Malaysia or Asia through a perfect storm. Just basically, three violent storms came together to form what they call a perfect storm, and that brought me here.
Right. And nice to have you in this part of the world. Now, you got into the space of mental healing because of a woman's attempted suicide. And you decide, you know, what was that aha moment for you to move in that area?
Well, while coaching her, and what's funny is I didn't take her case initially. I've been coaching for many, many years. And I didn't take her case until her mother called me and said, you worked with my son 10 years ago. And I was like, oh, yes, I remember you. Well, my daughter has gotten out of the hospital. She attempted suicide after some things happened to her in her company, in an organization she worked in. And not to give a bunch of details on it, I was a career coach at the time. So I knew how things can happen for a woman in a career and in an organization that's predominantly men that can push you to want to do some things that are irrational. Sometimes you cannot think clearly when things are happening to you.
Right.
So at any rate, I took her case. And while taking her case, it was actually healing for me.
Right.
Things I had encountered along the way. And I saw this woman who at one point was on heavy meds when she would come to my office, who wore nothing but black, had an emptiness, not only in her eyes, but in her soul. And after working with her for several months, she came out of that darkness. She came out of that storm. And I could see where that was a gift that I had that I was called to share with others. And that was the aha moment that this was a gift. It wasn't just for me to help people make more money,
right?
But rather to bring people out of darkness into light.
You know, there's this quote that you use in your bio. There are two significant times in your life, the day you were born and the day you discover why. And this is a quote by Mark Twain. Now, why is that so significant for you?
Oh, my goodness. It's significant for me because it's significant for everyone. So many of us are working in jobs, in relationships, trying to start our own business and things like that without really stepping back to find out, is this aligned with my purpose? Passion and purpose are not the same thing.
Right.
You can absolutely love what you're doing, but it's not what you've been brought here to do, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So when you look at, you know, you have other people who said things like on your tombstone, you have the day you were born, the day you die. But what is important is what you do between that time frame. That time frame is when you do your purpose. And a lot of us won't stop to really examine what is my true purpose. Because when you step into your purpose, you step into greatness. And that's when you live your best authentic life.
Right. And would you say that you knew your purpose from the get-go? Or is it sometimes a lifelong journey?
I knew my passion.
Right.
And so these are tips for people who are looking for their purpose. It's kind of easy to find. Mm. What is it that you used to do as a child that you would do without even thinking about? For me, I used to talk a lot in elementary school, so much so that on my fifth grade report card, it said, she seems to finish her homework early and roams around the room disturbing others. Now, mind you, I got in trouble for that. Mm-hmm. I probably was on punishment for a week. But what it says is I was talking. But what I knew is that I wasn't just talking about, you know, what are you doing, you know, tonight or so forth. I was checking in on people. Hmm. I would literally, like, I would come to your desk, Rita, and say, hey, what you doing? Hmm. And you'll say, wow, I'm struggling with this. And I was like, well, let me see. Hmm. And I'll say, excuse me, teacher, she needs help. Right. So I was that person advocating for people.
Right.
I was that person just checking in. So when you look at yourself from where you are today and look back as a child, what were you doing?
Hmm.
What were you even getting in trouble for? Because people didn't understand it. And that helps you see who you really are. But unfortunately, society strips it from you.
Right. Because you could have taken that, you know, she's just roaming around as a negative, and most of us do, right? As a negative statement or as a negative implication. So you don't rise up to what you're naturally gifted to do.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Hmm. Okay. So you are, and you put this differently, right? How is success and mental wellness intertwined?
So the research that I've done, and I've done quite a bit of research because this was my dissertation. Mm-hmm. So I had to do just volumes and volumes of research around it. When someone, you know, there's a, you know, that saying, there's a thin line between genius and insanity.
Okay.
Well, there's also a connection of success and mental illness. Mm. When you look at some of the people who are very, very successful because they are very focused, you can look at different behaviors that aligned with certain diagnosis.
Hmm.
Like, for instance, if you take someone who is the best accountant you ever seen, very often you can see some OCD, obsessive
compulsive disorder. Yeah.
Yes, because they can look at those numbers and just really want to get it right.
Hmm.
Look at Steve Jobs. Steve Jobs, if you really pull back the layers, was or could had a diagnosis that we don't know about. He could see things long before other people could see things. I can go on and on. Winston Churchill, you know, they attacked him saying he was nuts because he said, we got to look out for what's getting ready to happen. And no one believed him until they, you know, things started happening with the war. So when we start looking at people who are very successful, very often they will forsake their health to work those long nights. They will not eat properly because they don't have time to actually eat. Even though they're taking people out for lunch, they don't even touch their meal. They're so busy talking about what needs to happen. So you see what I'm saying, that to become successful, there's things that we do that can impact our mental health, while some people naturally are successful because of their mental health.
Right. Okay. Now, what about self-image? How does that impact our success in life, and what are our blind spots?
So when we talk about self-image, you have to stop and think about, what are you saying to yourself? See, that's a mental thing. You know, a lot of people talk about sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
They do.
Yeah, they will. Especially when those words are your words spoken to you. It may not be verbal, but if you say in your head, I can't do this. I'm not good enough. They won't buy this. They won't pay what I want to be paid. I have seen women and men, but let's just talk about women. I have seen women lower their price point because they believe, they have said to themselves, they'll never pay this price.
Right.
So that is, I call that DIY self-bullying. It's do-it-yourself bullying. And bullying is a mental state.
Right.
It's a mental action.
Right. Right. Well, I want to talk a little bit about the global shutdown and how that's affected mental well-being. And we'll discuss that in just a moment. I'm here with Dr. Indigo Triplett. You're listening to Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Backing feminist movements. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
This is Her Vantage. Good morning. I'm Frida Liu, and Her Vantage is where we speak to women of influence and leadership. I'm here with Dr. Indigo Triplett from 4D Performance, and she talks a lot about success and mental wellness. Now, how has the global shutdown impacted people's mental well-being, and what can we do about it?
You know, what's interesting about this is that we're starting to hear about it, but we are going to see it. We're going to see it manifest as we start returning to the workplace. When we start looking at different aspects, you could be talking about mental health in the area of loss. Some people have lost a lot. And so I don't know if you're familiar with the death and dying cycle of Kubler-Ross.
No.
There's a thing called death and dying cycle. Kubler-Ross was a psychologist that looked at when we have death, there's a cycle we go through. Everything from depression, sadness, anger, denial, and so forth. So if we're talking about people being in lockdown, some people lost, and loss is like death. Some people lost their job. Some people lost their significant other, their friendships, because they couldn't connect. You know, maybe someone they were dating is no longer in their life. So that's one way that they're dealing with it psychologically on a mental level. The other way is fear. Fear is not a physical thing. Let's get something real clear here. Everyone has mental health. It's like physical health. There is no, you know, only people who have a problem have mental health. What it is that mental health is on a spectrum.
Right.
From mental wellness to mental illness. And we all move along that spectrum at every given moment.
Right.
So right now, you and I are mentally well. Okay. You and I are way on the side of mental wellness. But when we hang up this phone, one of us can get a phone call where our parent was in a significant or serious accident and we need to come to the hospital right away.
Right.
We will slide down that spectrum and can develop a mental illness, meaning we can become depressed.
Right.
We could become angry. We could become fearful. All these things that are natural emotions. So when we talk about a lockdown, there's fear of the unknown. We don't know what's in store for us for the rest of 2020, right? So that's natural. It's natural for us to have these different emotions. And let me just say this. Emotions are energy in motion. Whatever you're feeling will become a behavior or an act. So if you are in, even if you are on limited lockdown and you can come out on the weekend, there's probably a side of you that's still a little bit fearful.
Right.
Maybe there's a side of you that's angry that this is happening. So those are all mental behaviors, thoughts that can become actions. So that's why what is occurring is going to be more visible over time.
Right. And I was thinking during the restricted movement order, there were moments when I was angry, right, and frustrated, in the early days. And then you sort of get out of it. And, the other thing, when you talk about mental wellness, I'm trying to change the word to mental fitness, that I'm able to be fit mentally and be able to bounce back a lot more faster. Because we're going to go down that spectrum, right? But how quickly I bounce back is the goal, I guess, right? What's happening in the U.S. as well with Black Lives Matter? How is that connected back to mental wellness?
Well, it's so interesting. I read the psychologist report that said, many of us are suffering from PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm. And believe it or not, what's happening here in Asia and globally, many of us are going to have post-traumatic stress disorder. That that goes back, dovetail with what I just said about being in lockdown, because this is traumatic. So coming out, that means it will be post-trauma stress disorder. But the psychologist, I thought this was so profound, said many African Americans are suffering from post-traumatic slavery disorder.
Oh, right.
Because, when we came out of slavery, even though it was, over 100 years ago, no one gave us counseling. Mm. No one talked to us about how to overcome hundreds of years of being subjugated to the terrors.
Right.
And let's think about it. The terrors are not over.
Right.
What we don't get here in Asia is the full story or all the news.
Right.
Over the last few weeks, there's been five lynchings.
Mm.
For those people who don't understand lynching is where you actually hang someone from a tree or something. But lynchings are a story. They're to help you understand that we mean business.
Right.
So that's traumatic for us to see lynchings in different parts of the country.
Right.
All within a week or two of each other.
Mm.
So when we talk about how is that having a mental impact on us, greatly. But it's not just us.
Mm.
It's not just the U.S.
Mm.
It's everyone.
Right.
Everyone is impacted in some way because it triggers what's happening to us wherever we are. So let me put it like this. What's happening to the U.S., is happening to us everywhere.
And, it's so interesting you talk about the post-traumatic slavery disorder and, how after the slavery, even though it's been over 100 years, and if not been addressed, that thinking passes on generation to generation as well. A lot of companies also talk about diversity and inclusion in their HR programs, but you feel this cannot replace equality. What do you mean by that?
So I have worked in the D&I space forever. I did diversity and inclusion for the U.S. Army, that when a person became a general, they went through my program. So I've done it for, just all these organizations. What I know is that racism is not about diversity or inclusion. Racism starts in the womb. It cannot be solved in the classroom. It has to initiate with the mother. It has to initiate in the home. So we cannot train away that. Equality happens in policies, in government, in schools and corporations. That's equality. So that is racism, equality, not D&I. Diversity exists. We don't have to make diversity happen. Mother Nature makes diversity happen. Just by virtue of us being on the phone, there is diversity. We're both women, but we're women from different economics. We're different ethnicities.
Yeah.
So that's the diversity that already exists.
Mm.
You can even put two Chinese women in a room, there's diversity.
Right.
Because they both, one could have children, one could be married,
right.
One could be a grandmother. That's diversity. So let's stop talking about diversity. It already exists.
Right.
Inclusion. the fact that we are already here, the fact that you are hired in a company, that's inclusion. The problem is how you're treated once you get there.
Right.
That's the issue, not D&I. So we probably even need to rename D&I offices to equality and emotional inclusion.
Right.
There's a woman, and please look up her website. It's emotional inclusion, that we have to include people from an emotional standpoint, become more compassionate, sensitive to the things that are happening to people and in their lives. So I just think it's really interesting that we're still hanging our hat on that diversity inclusion. It hasn't worked. It hasn't.
Right.
It's been a nice aha moment for some people, but it has not turned the tide.
Right. I want to talk a little bit about your book, Playing by the Unwritten Rules. Here's Why I Think, This is What I Know, because I think we might just have to do another call solely on the book, but a little bit about why you wrote your latest book.
So there's several reasons. One is, after being here in Asia for several years, I took a look at the game and how the game is played. And even though some people are playing the game, they still aren't winning at it because of the system that is put in place that often does not help people of color, that often does not help women. And so I talk about how I've spent my life talking about the game, that at some point there's some other things we have to look at. And three significant chapters in the book is the practicality of spirituality, that we need to not leave our spiritual, our holistic self at home when we show up, wherever we show up.
I'm with you.
That we need to allow people to become whole in the workplace. And so that's called the practicality of spirituality, where I talk about meditating, where I talk about finding yourself and your purpose and so forth. Another chapter is forgiveness and letting go. Some of us are so wrapped around the axle, meaning we are so unable to move forward because we're living in the past. We're looking in the rearview mirror, trying to navigate our way into the future when we need to let go.
Right.
We need to learn to forgive. And that was significant for me based on my perfect storm that came into my life. And now I know deeply I was brought to Asia to heal. I tell people that I infuse Western success principles with Eastern wellness philosophies. There are some things that you all have at your disposal that I think some of you have walked away from and started embracing the Western philosophies.
Right.
And I'm telling you, your stuff works. Go back to your basics. Go back to what your ancestors and your mothers, your grandparents tried to teach you that you're trying to walk away from to embrace Western philosophy, you know. So I teach Western success blended with your philosophy of wellness.
Right. So where can people find you and your books?
Please go to www.drindigo.com. That's www.drindigo.com.
Right. And we can get everything from you. It's been such a pleasure speaking to you, Dr. Indigo Triplett of 4D Performance. This is Her Vantage, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.